Amen. Somebody shall praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are thankful for life and strength, for breath in our body. And the word of the Lord declares, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. Hey, I don't know if you're thankful for being alive this morning, but I'm thankful. Come on, I don't know if you're thankful for life and strength and a home and a house and a family and everything that God has given you, but I'm thankful and I'm praising Him and giving Him thanks, for He is worthy. Amen, amen. Such a beautiful presence of the Lord in the house today, and such a beautiful congregation of people of every kindred, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning? Come on, anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning? Amen. Amen. So grateful that we have all made the effort to come into God's presence. I feel His Spirit lingering in the room, and I believe that the Holy Ghost can touch you this morning. I believe that the power of God can rest upon every heart and every mind, and we can leave with strength and joy and salvation in the Holy Ghost. Anybody believe that? Come on, anybody believe that? Amen. Amen. Without delay for the word of the Lord this morning, I want to turn your attention to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8 and verse number 21. Jeremiah 8 and 21. Focus. That revival's in the land. Amen. People are coming. And not only coming, but their lives are being restored and transformed. And we want to make all the visitors feel welcome in the house. Let's give the visitors a hand clap. Thank you for being here. Amen. We appreciate your effort to come to the house. And we don't esteem one person above another, because all people are special in the eyesight of God. I said, all people are special in the eyesight of God. No matter how much money you have, where you live, where you come from, your ancestry history. Amen. This is a church for all people. Somebody say all people. And God doesn't esteem one soul above another, but I'm exceedingly grateful and happy this morning. There are two special visitors in the room today, two special visitors to myself, because they happen to be kin to me. I have two family members, my uncle Nolly Rodney and his beautiful wife Delisa, my aunt and uncle. They're in the room. They're right over here. Amen. Amen. So glad that they are here this morning. Amen. Makes my heart feel so full, so joyful. They are special. They are tremendous people with kind hearts and beautiful spirits. Amen. And I'm so thankful that they are here this morning. Amen. Jeremiah 8 and 21, when you have it, shout amen. Amen. This text of scripture is what I believe is a text that, if we allow it to minister to us this morning, that whatever your ailments, whatever your situations, whatever the hurts and pains you've dealt with in life, I just want to tell you that you are in the best place for a true healing of God's Spirit. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in the room right now. And I want to do my best to be sensitive to the hearts and minds of souls of people. I want to preach to everybody. Somebody shout everybody. I want to preach to everyone in the room, and I pray that this word would minister to you. And Jeremiah, being sensitive to the needs of the people of God, he began to cry out before the Lord with a empathetic spirit. And this is what Jeremiah began to lament. He said, for the hurt, somebody shout hurt. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. He says, I am black and astonishment had taken hold on me. And this scripture, if you're not familiar with biblical vernacular, you're like, what in the world does that even mean? Somebody say amen. The word of God can be a little hard to understand, but God has sent you a preacher. But what Jeremiah is saying, he's saying, because the people of God have been crushed by life. Anybody's ever felt like that before? Come on, anybody's ever dealt with some hard things in life before? He said, me as the man of God, I empathize with their hurts, and it causes me to feel their pain. And he says, when he's saying, I am black, what he's saying, in the days of mourning, they would cover themselves with sackcloth and ashes, covering himself with ashes. Meaning, he said, I want to be sensitive to the people. Can I tell you that there's a world that's hurting this morning, but we as a church must be sensitive. Come on, anybody believe that? Hey, if there's hurt, there is a church. Where there's pain, there is a God. I've come to tell you that there is hope for the hurting. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, astonishment had taken hold on me. And then Jeremiah in verse 22 asked a golden question that I want to examine this morning. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health? Somebody say the health. The health of the daughter of my people recovered. Is there no balm in Gilead? I want to preach with a sensitive heart this morning for people in this room, from the floor seats all the way to the balcony. If there's anybody in this room that for the last several weeks, the last few months, maybe the last few years, you've been endowed with things in your life that you cannot control. There's situations that have gotten overwhelming. There's pains in your life through family members and the perils of life. Can anybody just tell the truth this morning? And sometimes we wear a mask, not literally but figuratively. That we wear a mask and we try to cover and conceal the things that are going on beneath the surface. But I just want to tell you that God is interested in your hurts. And God is interested in your pains. And I just want to tell you that there is a physician in the house. Come on, there's a spirit in this sanctuary right now. The power of the Holy Ghost is in the room. I just want to tell you, Jesus is in the house. Come on, anybody feel his presence? Come on, Jesus is in the room. His presence is in the house. His glory is in the sanctuary. Somebody clap your hands and lift up your voice. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give God praise, give God praise, give God praise. Come on. I feel his spirit right now. Come on. I don't care what the hurt is. It doesn't matter what the troubles are. It doesn't matter what your trials, your situations, the complexions of your life. I've come to tell you that there is a physician in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen. And so for the next few moments, I want to declare a spirit in the house and tell somebody that there is a balm in Gilead. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is a balm in Gilead. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, there is a balm in Gilead. Amen. If you believe the Lord is in the room, clap your hands one more time in the house. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. Come on, I feel strength in the house. Anybody feel what I feel? Come on, anybody feel what I feel? Amen. God bless you in the fear of the Lord. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. I am aware of the time, and I do not want to belabor the spirit of the Lord, but I want to unleash a spirit of recovery in the room. I feel that there is a sentiment, there is a law concerning the presence of God, that there is a world outside of the doors of this church, that from day to day people go through life trying to do their best to live life, but sometimes life can be hard. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes life can be hard, and we don't come to the house of God because we use religion as a crutch. We don't come to church because we need another spot filled on our calendar. But I know as a man that once we come to the grip of reality that there are things in our lives that we cannot control, that there are situations in our world that we cannot fix, that there are times that we go through life and we are hurt. Somebody shout hurt. We are hurt by people. We are hurting financially. We are hurting mentally. We are hurting with wounds that we have not found a remedy for. But I've come to tell you that when you step into the house of God, when you step into the house of God, there is a fragrance of God's spirit. There is an ointment of God's presence. There is a flow of God's power, that when you step into the house of God, there are wounds in your life that can be healed. Well, I wish I had two or three people that know what I'm talking about. There are situations that I don't know how to extrapolate understanding. But when I take my troubles to Jesus, I understand that I might not can fix it, but I know a God that can. Hey, can I tell you, that's why I've come to the house this Sunday morning. I need help being a husband. I need help being a father. I need help being a man. I need Jesus. Anybody in the house need Jesus? Hey, I need Jesus to wake up. I need him to go to bed. I need his presence to help me live. I need his power to help me walk. I feel the Holy Ghost in the room. I need Jesus. I need his presence. I need his spirit. And I've just come to remind somebody, inform somebody in the room, that there is a balm in Gilead. Now, I understand that some here may not understand biblical, poetic scriptures and the framings of what this even means, a balm in Gilead. Anybody have heard of a balm in Gilead before? Let me see your hands. Some of us have, but what is a balm in Gilead? There is a biblical principle concerning the balm. By definition, a balm is a fragrance. It is a medicinal ointment. It is a pungent perfume, if you will, that was used in biblical times. This ointment was so powerful that when people were sick, when people were wounded, when people had ailments in their body, you just get a hold of this ointment and you begin to use this ointment on the place of injury, on the wound, on the infirmity, and this ointment will begin to heal the wounds of the people. And this balm was produced in the land of Gilead. Everybody shout Gilead. And so the people of the days of scripture understood that if someone that they knew had ailments, if there was an individual that had pains, that had infirmities, and the wounds would not heal, they understood that there was one last resort of healing, that there was an opportunity. Can I tell you, I'm so glad that I have a chance to come to the house of God. Hey, I've come to tell you, some folks didn't wake up this morning, but I'm thankful that I had a chance to get to the house of God. Hey, some people didn't get home last night, but you woke up this morning with strength in your body, got in your car, and you came to Gilead. And so if people needed healing, they would bring them to Gilead. They would use this ointment for healing. They would find this remedy for their bodies. But can I tell you that we as people not only have infirmities of our bodies. Anybody knows what it's like to be sick? Come on, anybody ever had infirmities in your bodies and aches and pains in your body? But there are pains that go way further, the existential framings of your flesh. But there are pains because sometimes people have trouble sleeping because there's troubles in their world that they don't know how to handle. And people have pains because people have abused them, and there's pains in their heart, and people have been mistreated. Anybody hearing the preacher right now? Sometimes we walk around and we try to put a smile on our face. And when people ask us how we're doing, we say, I'm doing okay. Anybody can just nod your head to the preacher. I'm doing fine. Everything's right. But if they only followed you home, they would know that when the door closes and you get behind the four walls, that you're crying yourself to sleep at night. I want to preach to the hearts of people in the house. If they only could go to the bank with you when you go to check the status of your bank account, everything's not okay. And if they only could go home with you and know the fighting and the murmuring and the bickering and the wars that are going on in your family. But I've just come to remind somebody, every hurt that goes on in our world, there is a remedy called God. There is a physician called Jesus. There is a house and a place called Gilead. I wish I had two or three people that knows what it felt like for your marriage to be put back together, that knows what it feels like to have pain leave your body, to knows what it feels like to call upon the name of Jesus and something begin to happen, to begin to cry out to Jesus and something begin. I just want to tell you, there is a spirit, there is a fragrance, there is a balm in Gilead. Oh, somebody worship the Lord in the room. Come on, worship the Lord in the room. In my pain, there's a God. In my hurt, there's a Savior. In my frailties, there is a physician. Somebody say, there is a balm in Gilead. I want to take my time and pick apart the beauty and the balm in Gilead. It's all right if I take my time and preach a little bit. Because in order for you to understand the power of the balm in Gilead, you must understand the place where the balm comes from. Because Gilead, by geographical location, is a land. It is a region that is located geographically on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And not only was this balm and this fragrance produced from Gilead, but there was something special. Somebody say special. There was something special about this place. Anybody knows there's something special about this place? Come on, it's more than just singing. It's more than just the choir singing and the church people clapping and lifting up their hands. It's more than just preaching. But when the Spirit of God begins to move, there is a spirit that can heal your heart. There is a fragrance that can heal your mind. There is a power that can touch your soul. And Gilead is a specific place that this land was known for its geographical topography, meaning the landscape, the layout of the land. And the people of the land knew that Gilead was special because they knew this land for the mountainous hills and the slopes and the elevations, the hills upon hills upon hills. It was known as the land of many hills. Somebody shout hills. I'm just taking my time, but I pray God speaks to you this morning. It was known as the land of many hills. Somebody shout hills. And not only was it known as the land of hills, but through translation of the word Gilead, and in the Hebrew translation of the word, this word literally means the hills of testimony. I wish somebody just let that get all in your spirit right there. Anybody in the room got a testimony? Come on, anybody in the room got a testimony? I know there's more in the house. I said, anybody in the room thankful that you got a testimony? Come on, anybody in the room thankful that you've got? One day I was lost, but now I am found. One day I was blind, but now I can see. One day I was crippled, but God. Anybody in the room got a testimony? Some of you may have forgot, but I'm going to help you a little bit. Because they knew that this land was a land of the hills of testimony. They knew that there was powerful. There was a powerful, pungent spirit that came out of the hills. Can I tell somebody right now? Sometimes we are weighed down with life, and we are encompassed about with frustration because we forget that God has done great things for us. But I'm going to say it again on this side in case you're not hearing me. Sometimes you get bogged down in worry and defeat and despair, and you get wrapped up in mental decadence because you forgot that God has been good to you. You're worried about your bills. You're worried about your family. You're worried about your health. You're worried about things that you can't control. But don't forget God. But I feel like preaching in a room. Hey, you can worry, but I'm just going to worship and know that God is in control. You can worry, but I'm just going to worship and know that God's in control. You can fret and forget, but I'm going to remember that God's in control. My God, I wish somebody would thank God. Hey, you could be in your grave, but God. You could be in the hospital, but God. You could be sick, but I've got something to be thankful for. There is a God in Gilead. There is a God. Some of you ain't excited yet, but I'm going to keep on preaching. Somebody say Gilead. Because when you understand that God is the God of the hills, and you understand the power of the hills of testimony, then you won't go into work tomorrow morning with your head down, walking in depression. You're going to walk with your back straight and your shoulders square and say, I may be in trouble, but there's a God in Gilead. I may be going through it, but there's a God in Gilead. I may be weary, but there's a God. You may have lost a loved one. You may have lost your job. You might be losing your mind. But there is a God in Gilead. And when his spirit gets a hold of you, he begins to heal every infirmity. He begins to heal every disease. He begins to heal your soul. I believe that as the people of God and anybody in this room, if you're struggling with having joy in your life, you've got to learn to remember your testimonies. It's all right if I just preach on a Sunday morning. You've got to learn to use your testimony as a weapon against depression. You've got to learn to use your testimony as a weapon against doubt and fear that tries to get a hold of you. Y'all don't know what that means yet, but I'm just going to help you out right now. It reminds me of a man by the name of David. It reminds me of a man that knew how to find strength and encourage himself through the power of God and knowing who Jesus was in his life. I've got to tell you right now, you can't forget what God has done, because the day you forget is the day you're going to be crumbled by life and crushed by life for the hurt of the daughter of my people, because people can be crushed by life. But I've come to tell you, when life weighs down on you, there's a God that will pick you up and lift you up and let you stand again. Boy, I feel something in the room right now. And David said, I might be going through a valley. I might be going through a hard time. But Psalm 121:1, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. When I don't know what to do, I've got to get my eyes up. When I don't know where to go, I've got to lift up my chin and look. There's something about the brain that people say that wherever your eyes are looking is the direction in which you will begin to go, which means if you keep looking down, you're not going up. But if you lift up your eyes unto the hills, you're going to know that God's saying you ain't going to stay in the valley much longer. You're not going to stay in the low place much longer. I will lift up my... Somebody shout the hills. Somebody shout the hills. And you think David was just writing that to be poetic and be a psalmist on the harp? Think again. Because David understood that he would lift up his eyes unto the hills from whence his help cometh. But you've got to go several hundred verses before to understand why David even lifted up his eyes to look to the hills. Because David recalled in Psalm 3:4, he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Anybody ever had some crying nights? He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I got in the altar and began to weep. I lifted up my hands and began to cry. When I didn't know what to do, I begin to cry upon the name of the Lord. I just want to encourage you. If you don't know what to do, try Jesus. If you don't know where to go, try Jesus. If you don't know how to live, there is a bomb. And David said, when I begin to cry, God was listening to me. When I begin to pray, God was listening to me. Can I tell you where God was listening from? David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me, and he inclined unto me, and he peered over the precipice of his throne, and God heard me out of his holy, out of his holy. So that means that David knew that God came over the hill for him before. So you got to Psalm 121, and David said, the same God that heard me before, I'm going to look up to the hills and see if he's going to do it. See if he can do it again, and see if he's going to listen again, and see if he can help me again. Hey, I just want to tell you, if God did something for you one time, he's the God of the encore. He can do it again. Y'all ain't shouting yet, but I'm going to remind you. He's the God of the hills. He's the God of the valleys. He's the God of Gilead. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He said, if you need healing, you got to get to Gilead. Because there's something beautiful in those hills. Oh, my God, I feel the Spirit of God. Because sometimes as people, we're walking around and stumbling and trying to feel our way through the darkness. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Your children are far away from what you taught them, and you're trying to say, I don't know what happened to my kids. But I'm telling you, if you bring them into God's throne room in prayer, if you bring your babies and say, God, I want you to touch my children. God, I want you to touch my husband. God, I want you to touch my family. I want you to touch my finances. There's a fragrance of God's spirit that will begin to invoke his presence, and he'll meet your prayers with his presence. He'll meet your prayers with his fragrance. When you send up an incense to God, the balm of Gilead begins to flow. When you send up, I just come to tell you, this atmosphere ain't hype. This ain't a concert. This is the presence of the living God. What you feel is God. What you feel is the balm. What you feel is his. I know this is a beautiful edifice of a sanctuary on the corner of Marino Street, but it's more than just a building. I know that these stained glass windows with a mural of the disciples and the biblical images of the Bible, it's so pretty, but it ain't about the beauty of the tapestry of the building. It's the beauty of the tapestry of the balm. It's the Spirit of God that's moving in this house that will cause you to begin to weep when you don't know what's going on. Hey, if you feel something right now, if you lift up your hands, let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. If you lift up your voice, let God's Spirit. Because God's Spirit, it's the same spirit that Jeremiah was crying out to, because he understood if there was not an intervention for the people, that some people had some hurts that were not going to be healed. I just come to tell you, I'm going to tell the truth. Can I tell the truth right now? I'm a young man, and I haven't lived all of life's experiences, and I might not be the smartest man in the room, but I will tell you this. I know enough to know that I don't care how much money you have in your bank account. Money is limited, and money can't fix everything. Money is limited, and it can run out, but God is a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And when your money runs out, God is limitless. When your credit card is maxed out, God is limitless. I'm not the smartest man in the room, and I don't despise educated people because I have a degree. Thank you very much. But I don't care how smart a psychologist is. There's some things that they can't give you wisdom like God can. I don't care how comfortable the couch is. There's a counselor above all counselors that'll put your marriage back together when 12-step programs couldn't do it. There's a God that can heal your addiction when an AA program can't do it. I've come to tell you, if you want true healing, you've got to find God. If you want true victory, you've got to find God. If you want, because when you find God, Jesus will pick you up, even if he has to reach way, way down to get you. Boy, I wish somebody would preach with the preacher on a Sunday morning. I said, God will pick you up when you've hit the lowest point of your life. I just want to minister to somebody in the Holy Ghost. You've hit rock bottom. I just want to tell you that's a good place to be. Because if you're on the rock bottom, the only place you can go is up. Boy, I wish you would hear me right now. You said, preacher, I don't have nowhere else to go. Yes, you do. He said, rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. For when I sit in darkness, the only place I can go is up. The only way I can go is up. I'm leaving the valley and I'm climbing the hill. I'm almost done preaching. Boy, I know some of y'all excited about that. But David understood that he was not only just a God of the valleys. Anybody been through some valleys? Come on, any honest people in the room, anybody been through some hard times that you didn't know how you was going to make it out? He was not just a God of the valleys. The hard places when you're lonely and you don't have nobody's shoulder to cry on. The valley when all your friends are being blessed and you still stuck there and God hasn't unleashed an answer to your prayers yet. I'm preaching to you in the Holy Ghost right now. The valley when it feels like you don't have nobody but the people in your own house. Everybody else has forsaken you. Everybody's turned their back on you. But I just want to tell you that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God, the God of Gilead, he's leading me through the valley. I'm not afraid about tomorrow. I'm not scared of a pandemic. I just come to tell you, I know the God of Gilead. I know I've lost some things, but I know the God of Gilead. And David understood that he was just not the God of the hills, and he wasn't just the God of the valleys. But David also prayed. He said in Psalm 41, he said, I waited patiently on the Lord. Anybody got some unanswered prayers yet? Anybody's got some unanswered prayers in the room? That means I'm preaching to you right now. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and God wasn't doing what I was wanting him to do just yet. But I just come to tell you, the day ain't over yet. I said, the day ain't over yet. I said, revival ain't over yet. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Just like God heard me when I was walking in the valley with my sheep by myself. Anybody knows what it feels like to be by yourself? Sometimes God allows you to be isolated from everybody and everything you know so that you would draw closer to him. Well, I'm going to say that again. Sometimes God lets problems knock your door and kick your door in because the only time you will pray is when you got problems going on. He said, I cried unto the Lord. And the Bible says that he pulled me out of a horrible pit. He said, he pulled me out of a horrible pit. And can I tell you that when God pulls you out of the pit, that was verse 2. When he pulls you out of the pit, he said, and he set my feet upon a rock. He pulled me out of the miry clay. Anybody knows what that feels like? And he set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. I just want to tell you, I don't care where you're sitting. If you're sitting in depression, you don't have to stay there. If you're having trouble having faith in God, you don't have to stay there. If you're having trouble breaking some bad habits and some addictions that you know God's not pleased with, you don't have to stay there. Because there was an old hymn, which is the title of this sermon. There is a balm in Gilead that can make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead that can heal my sin sick soul. I just want to tell you, your past ain't big enough that God can cover you with his balm and I don't care if you're bipolar, if you're a murderer. I don't care what the case is or what your rap sheet looks like. When you step into the pools of baptism, God will wash your sins away. God will heal your wounds. God will erase your scars. That's the kind of God in Gilead. I'm done preaching. Last point as we come to the music and play softly. But you can't talk about a pit. Somebody shout the pit. And I just know there's probably a few people in the room that's just transparent enough to know what it feels like to be in a pit. You can be in a big house and still be in a pit. You can be driving a nice car and still be in a pit. You can have everything in this world and still be in a pit. You can still be in a place in life where you don't know what to do. And anybody hearing the word of the Lord talking to you right now? You can still be in a place that all the money in the world, you're still not happy. But if there is any conversation about a pit, I'm reminded of a young man that was in a pit and didn't know why he was there. Sometimes we go through things in life and we don't understand why things are so hard. Why is God allowing so many things to come against my family? It seems like blow after blow. Every time I get my footing and I'm standing up straight, something else knocks me down. Anybody hearing the preacher? But can I tell you that God is a God that understands the purpose of your pit? And sometimes hard places in life are not to break you, but they are to build you. Because some people go to a psychiatrist when they need help. But can I tell you where I go? I go to Gilead. This is Gilead. As young people, their parents are on the brink of divorce. Can I tell you, young people, the best place you can go? You go to Gilead. There's a young man by the name of Joseph. Anybody heard of him before? Joseph didn't understand his pit because God had given him a vision. And the vision that God gave him looked like God had great plans for his life. But one day, Joseph's brothers, who were envious of him, betrayed him. Anybody? I'm talking to people, your family has betrayed you, but I'm telling you, you keep on walking with God, he's going to be everything that you need. I'm talking about people, your husband walked out on you, but God can be better than any man has ever treated you. And Joseph was betrayed by his own family, the black sheep of the family. And his brothers conspired against him to kill him. Somebody say, that's rough. And in their conspiracy, God was fulfilling a prophecy. Boy, that's so beautiful. I just come to tell you, it doesn't matter what the adversary tries to do against you. If God has given you a promise, you better take it to the bank and cash that check. He can't do nothing to stop God's blessings on your life. Hey, if God has given you a promise, you better believe it, that it shall come to pass. You ought to lift up your voice and thank God that God is a God in Gilead, that God is a healer, he is a provider, he is a way maker, he is the God of Gilead. And this particular day, his brothers decided to kill him by throwing him in a pit, Genesis 37 and 24. And I know that they were trying to kill him because the pit that they threw him in had no water in it. But while his brothers were breaking bread, verse 25, they were breaking bread and eating their lunch. And I can imagine they were laughing about how they just got rid of this dreamer. That's going to teach him to believe in God. I'm going to teach them to stop going to church. But I just want to tell you, not family, not friends, not nobody can keep me from Gilead. Hey, some folks think you're crazy for going to church in the middle of a pandemic, but I just want to tell you, this is the best place I can be. Where else can the sick go? Where else can the broken go? Where else can the hurting go? Where else can I go but to Gilead? I can go to the hospital, but I would rather come to the house. I can go anywhere, but there's a physician here. I said, there's a physician here. I'm done. Here it is. And Joseph's in this pit. And I can imagine, like Joseph, as we stand to our feet in this house, I can put myself in the shoes of Joseph this morning. And I think that Joseph probably thought that God was not honoring his promise to him. And I can see a little tear run down Joseph's face. I said, God, why did you let me come to this pit? This isn't the dream that you gave me. This isn't the promise that you gave me. Anybody hear me talk to you right now? This is not the plan you have for me. Surely God, why all of these bad things happening to my family? But God is a God of Gilead, and he would turn your pit into a place of promise. Because what Joseph didn't know was that God knew exactly where he was. And in verse 25, the Bible declares that as they're sitting there with their lunch, I can see dust being kicked over in the distance. And I can see his brothers lifting up their eyes, and with the bend, they're looking at the dust and they're squinting their eyes, and the dust is getting closer and closer and closer. What is that in the distance? They lifted up their eyes, and the Bible declares that the dust that was being kicked up in the distance was a caravan of Ishmaelite traders. I wish somebody would let the Holy Ghost just do something in your heart. Anybody curious where they were coming from? Anybody got a good guess where they were coming from? Over the hills, they were coming from Gilead. And they were making their way right to where Joseph was. But that's not the beautiful part. The Bible declares that strapped to the caravan of camels. You can read it. It's right there. I ain't making this up. There were spices and myrrh and a balm. They were making their way down to Egypt because even the Egyptians knew that if you wanted to preserve dead things, you needed the balm from Gilead, the fragrance, the ointment that can preserve the body. This is why they call it the embalming process. Well, I'm just helping y'all out all kind of ways this morning. They would cover them with this fragrance to preserve the bodies. But in their journey and travel to Egypt, they had a job to do. And their job was to pull Joseph out of the pit. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hey, you don't think God knows where you are this morning, but I just want to tell you there's a bomb coming from Gilead. There's a fragrance of the Spirit that's coming to your pew right now. God is coming. There's an ointment. There's a beautiful fragrance in the atmosphere of the house of God. And God knows exactly where you are. Hey, preacher, I'm depressed. God knows. Hey, preacher, I'm hurting. God knows. Hey, preacher, I'm broken. God knows. My God, I wish somebody would worship him right now.
God knows where you are, Joseph. Hey, there's a beautiful fragrance. And I believe that Joseph smelled that pungent aroma of the balm from Gilead. And Joseph, shackled hands and feet, didn't know that the balm was about to break his chain. I'll tell you what I'm preaching right now. I'll tell you what the word of the Lord is speaking in the house of the people. I believe there are people with years and years of pain and hurt. There are people with months and weeks of pain beneath the surface that nobody knows about. There's frustrations. There's weariness. There's pain and turmoil in your mind. But I've come to tell you there is a God in Gilead. There is a physician in the house. I've come to tell you, if you will begin to lift up your hands and begin to cry out to God from your valley. Come on, I wish somebody would be like David right now. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Hey, you need to remember the hills. You need to remember the valleys. You need to remember the pit. Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice in the house. Come on, all across the sanctuary, all the way to the balcony. I want you to just close your eyes and lift up your voice and begin to pray and say, God, I need your help. God, I need your strength. God, I need your power. Come on, that's it. Come on, anybody in the house hurting? Come on, anybody in the room need a physician? Anybody in the sanctuary need God? Come on, if you need your sins washed away, I encourage you, I beg you, I beseech you, go down in the waters of baptism this morning. Don't leave here without salvation. Don't leave here without transformation. Don't leave here without healing of your soul.